Today's daf Yud Alev in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, and we are holding at the third line down on Yud Alev Omud Alev. We're talking about Maamaros of Rava Bar Machasya, and Rava Bar Machasya continues with quite a few different elements that have to do with cities and buildings and comparative issues, which we'll talk about what in the world they're doing over here in a moment. V'yomer Rava bar Machasya, Yomer Rav Chama bar Guri, Yomer Rav. Kol ir shegagotea givohin mibet haKnesset v'sof charava shenam l'romim et beit Eloheinu lahamid et chorvotav. Now that din is based on the pasuk, because at the end of l'romim beit Eloheinu means to uplift it so that it should be recognizably uplifted above everything else. And the end of the pasuk is latet lanu gader b'Yehuda, so that we should be zochet to have a shmira. Gader is something that provides for Shmira. If you don't have that Shmira, so then that means in the end, you are going to lose the area. But this is only talking about Hanimili Bibatim. It's a beautiful makor for the din of Kishkush. The word Kishkush in modern Hebrew means Stam Kishkush Ba'alma. It means just something that is babble, that doesn't really mean anything. And over here, in terms of the building, it means decorative things, or things that have nothing to do with the way people are living. So Kishkushi Vavruri would mean radio antennas or cell towers. Those are not considered to be things that you have to be makbid on, that shouldn't be higher than the Beit HaKnesset in town. Or here, the Bakar, the Pasuk Beis HaMikdash. The Omer of Ashi, you know, when I was Rosh Hashiva in Matam Echasya, I saved the city from destruction by seeing to it that nobody lifted up their home higher than the big shul in town. What do you mean you saved Matam Echasya? Matam Echasya was destroyed. True, but it wasn't destroyed because of that. Brilliant. So anyway, a Mephis. The Mephis is, the Rebbe's got to learn this one, how to bring out Mephis in. I saved the town. But what do you mean? It was destroyed in a pogrom. That was something else, for them, but I saved the town. Wonderful. And Rava Bar Machasya again, quoting Rav Chama Bar Guria, quoting Rav, in terms of comparatives, and there's going to be a series of comparatives, I'd rather be Tachat Yishmael, I'd rather be working in service of an Arab and not working for a Christian. I'd rather work for a Christian and not for a Chabar. A Chabar were these fire worshippers that came into Bavel at the time of Rabbi Yochanan, according to Tosfos, or they were an element of the Parsim, according to Rashi. I'd rather work for a Chabar, but never work for a Talmud Chacham. Those are disasters. You work for a Talmud Chacham, the first time you do something wrong, he'll have your head. And I'd rather even work for a Talmud Chacham, but not for a Yatom and an Almanah. I mean, the first thing that I do, make them cry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kill me. I'd rather be sick with any type of sickness. Sick means seriously ill over a period of time, but not stomach illness. As far as pain is concerned, I'd rather go through any type of long-term pain, but not pain in the heart. And as far as passing, not feeling well, I'll tolerate anything except a headache. And anything bad, I'll tolerate except for a bad woman. Oh my God, that's the ultimate bad. Another thing that Rav Marav said, if you would take all of the seas in the world and you would turn them into ink, and you would turn all of the agamim that have the reeds growing in them, every swamp in the world, into reeds, and you would use the entire heavens as the paper that you're writing on, and you would use kol b'nei adam lavlarin, you'd use the entire human race as people that were writing down the new information, and you would store all of this information in a hard drive the size of the planet Jupiter. You have to understand that the amount of information that is generated in reality, that needs to be taken into consideration on every moment in terms of the overall nihul of the world, there wouldn't be enough. You would not have enough space to store all that information that's going on at all times in the extremely complex balances and data being generated just in terms of governing things, and that's a pasuk. Amr Mashar Shemaikra Shamayim Larum Ve'eretz La'omek Lev Melachim Ein Cheker. Another thing of Rabba Bar Machasya, Rabba Bar Guria Marav, And here we get back to our brachas. We've been dealing with the bracha sugyas, right? So we got to get back to the final bracha sugya, which is dreams. But of course, now we're in Masechet Shabbat, so we got to talk about dreams on Shabbat. Okay, so yofe ta'anit l'chalom ke'esh l'na'oret and Om Rav Chisda bo bayom and Om Rav Yosef, even on Shabbos. As we saw earlier, if somebody has a dream, remember that the post can bring that nowadays only idiots are worried about dreams because dreams are for serious people and not for silly little you. And therefore, do not take them seriously and just ignore it. You certainly do not have a right, l'halacha, to fast on Shabbos for a dream today because that's your own choice to wreck Shabbos because you're worried about a dream. Stop worrying and everything will be fine. This is the reason that some people are meant to look like Alfred E. Newman. What? Me worry? That's the point. Do not worry. Continues the Gemara. So this was the Eter of Afila B'Shabbos. Rav Yoshua Bereda Ravidi came to Rav Ashi's house once, and they had made him this incredible suit of an igla tilto, which is the third-born eagle, which is the best. The animal's in its full swing. Please eat something. And he says to them, I can't. I'm in the middle of a tinus. So they said to him, you don't hold of Reb Yudas Psak. Reb Yudas said, a person is allowed, let's say, a person had been a couple of tinus. And all of a sudden, the Adam Gadol comes in and so on, or he comes into a place where there's a Suddah Shal Mitzvah going on, a Bris Mila, whatever. He's allowed to borrow his tinus, meaning he could say, okay, you know what, forget about the tinus today. We'll do it tomorrow instead, or some other day. So why can't you do it some other day? And he said, I can't. Because it's a tainis chalom. And remember that Rav Bar Bachasi said, you have a tainis chalom, keshel na'ores. Rav Chisda said, it's only on the same day. And we paskin that that's even B'Shabbos. So certainly, I mean, if it's even B'Shabbos, I'm certainly not going to be lova v'porea. This tainis, you can't, because it only works today. And the end of the Mishnah, getting back to the Mishnah, all of these inyonim, I want to point out, are issues that have to do with the question of two things. That which is miyached a particular thing. So we started with the type of city that you live in is also central. The home that you live in and the way that we define your entire relationship in terms of your clothing, your yeshiva das, all of this we understood was nogea the inyan of Shabbos. On the first level, it was because of preparing yourself on hachona. But remember, in order to be meichin in a way that makes a difference for the level of mitsuyanut, you need to have a brain which is able to discriminate. And it's discrimination that makes the difference. And of course, it's discrimination that is the essence of Shabbos, which is why it's the essence of Pesach, which is called Shabbos, remember, which is Kiddush and Havdalah. That's the whole point, is to be mavdil and know the difference. So the discrimination in terms of the wines that we were talking about, which is nogea, what type of wine to use for Shabbos, in terms of dress, in terms of home, but more, you need to know that your entire environment is a function of discrimination. And anything that you pay no attention to, so you go daven in a miklat somewhere, and you say, same thing, I'm davening, or whatever it is that has to do with these achonas and the placement of your mind and the placement of your body and the understanding of where you are, the ultimate hakpada on that is dafka on Shabbos, which is why when we go from Seder Emuna into Shabbos, the whole point is that we're coming into a vayachulu ha-shamayim v'aretz, and that is the vayavdel. That vayavdel becomes part of our Kiddush v'avdola, is the nature of bracha, and is the presence of Adam in the world, is especially nogea Shabbos to know the difference. And even if it's a difference in terms of your own suffering, you have to understand the difference. Who do you work for? What are you suffering from? How are you dressed? What is the world really about in terms of its complexity? And so on. So all of these things are nogea. Even something as silly as the difference between a radio antenna or a cell tower and its relationship to the shul and the chashivas of the shul, to know the difference between kishkush and seriousness in terms of binyan, this is something that everybody, you think it's a small thing? The whole world is involved in kishkushim. Remember that. And this daf is mechayev you. Forget about kishkush. Okay, we got to the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah, the last words were, im hitchilu ein mafsikin, if you started already doing these things, then don't stop, which of course would then go on to say, you are mafsik l'kriyat shema, but you're not mafsik l'tfila. I don't understand, that's just repeating yourself. We said that before. Tano Lebresha, Ein Mafsikim. What's the Sefer adding Ein Mafsikim the Tefillah? So, Sefer, says the Gemara, must be referring to an entirely different thing. And that is Divrei Torah. So that it's coming to tell you not to be Mafsik Divrei Torah, and as the Rambam brings the Halacha in exactly the same way, as what is bigger than what. And the way he brings us Halacha is Gidola Torah from the Chiyav of Tefillah. And therefore, Atan L'Divrei Torah, which the Braita says, if you have Chaverim that are Oskin B'Torah together, they are Mafsik for Kriyat Shema, which is the time of the Kriyat Shema, the Oraita. They are not Mafsik for Tefillah. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, what type of Torah are we talking about? Lo shanu el kagon Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai v'chaveirav shetoratanu munutan. Havu kagon anu mafsikin l'kriyat shema u'letfilah. So, it depends on the hierarchy of values in your life. Because if you are ready to interrupt your learning for a telephone call, then clearly it's time for ET call home, and it's time to interrupt for your telephone call to the Lord. If you're someone who does not interrupt for something else, then your ASIC in Torah is a true ASIC that potters you from doing anything else. So there are different ways of understanding this. If the Ptur is in terms of HaOsik B'mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah, but in this case, since Talmud Torah is all the time, it would only be if it's this particular mitzvah is G'dayla from the mitzvah that you're coming to do, which is the one way of understanding it. So then that would be the explanation here. If it's because we're analyzing the godless of Torah over Tefillah, then it may be a distinction in the Torah. In other words, Torah that is being learned by someone with concentration who cannot interrupt is a different darga of Gedolah Torah than Tefillah, which is a completely different way of understanding it, which has other immense implications in terms of what it is bichlal that you're doing when you lead your life with or without concentration. So therefore, if you've got someone like Reb Shimon bar Yochai, we would be, then you aren't mafsik for tefillah. As the Gemara of Atanya, k'shem she'am mafsikin l'tefillah kach, ein mafsikin l'kriyat shema. So where is that? There's obviously somewhere where you're not mafsik even for kriyat shema, which is the Dioraita and Zmana Overet. That's true. But that's referring to Ibur Shona. Yom Rav Ada Barava, and so the Savi Vagruni, Yom Rav Elazar Barav Tzadok, when we were busy, in the special bezel, they had seven people that would go up to an aliyah, and they would spend all of the time doing the math and doing all of the calculations that had to do with agricultural calculations, local conditions of weather, and so on, which is similar to the issue of Liba Shel Rashus. Then there was no possible way, because it was a tzorach of the tzibur, not to be mekalkel the moadim, and they needed to be completely shakua in what they were doing. We were not mafsik, not for kriyat shema, not for tefillah, because what you're doing is the tzorech of the tzibur as a whole. Sir Richard, you're on. Wonderful. So now that we have finished the concepts of the knowledge of the idea of preparation for something, you need to take into consideration specifically preparations of yourself vis-a-vis Hotza'ah. Therefore, you should not go out, even though it's not Shabbos yet. It's the middle, it's still before Shabbos. It's Somuch L'Chashecha. If you are a tailor, do not go out with a needle, because you may forget and carry that around on Shabbos. If you are a sofer, don't go out with your pen, Bikul Muso. And as soon as you light the candles, and we're going to turn it turns into both of these are Nageya the Oraner, you do not sit there that evening, even though it's still people are like getting ready for davening and so on. Don't read your Chumash L'Oraner, and do not check your clothing to see if there's any bugs on them, if there's kinim on them, because again, you may forget that it's Shabbos. Be'emet Amru. However, it's a completely reliable halacha. Now, the Yerushalmi says that Be'emet Amru always means halacha l'mashmi Sinai. Obviously, it doesn't mean literally halacha l'mashmi Sinai. This entire thing is only Gzeir the Rabbonan. That ha'chazan ro'eh hechanti nokot kor'im, aval hu lo yikra. This, by the way, is the first place we find this idea where people come to explain what is the meaning of the word chazan, which the Orach learns is the idea over here, ha'chazan ro'eh. The word chazan is ha'chazai, the one who looks, ha'chozeh. So the chazan is someone who looks into the Sefer Torah, was originally koveya, who gets an aliyah, where the aliyah starts, where the aliyah stops. And that was his main function. And then there were times when he used to also say some of the tefillahs, for which became the modern usage of a chazan, who's the one who sings, which is not at all what it originally meant. And generally, the idea of a sexton that takes care of, like we find the chazan in the Har HaBayit, there's all kinds of usage of the word chazan. So he's the guy that's achroy to see that things come together in shul. So he can look, now either it means over here that type of chazan, and since the kids are reading, and we'll see that the kids are allowed to read L'Or HaNer, and the reason that they are allowed to read L'Or HaNer, according to the Bavli, is because of the fact that since they're scared to touch the candle and not going to move the candle, the Rebbe is there and everything, that they don't think about their rights to read a little better by having better light. You don't have to worry about them moving the candle and being over on Chillul Shabbos. But the Rebbe, which may be the Chazan, maybe is the Rebbe according to one pshat, but an adult doesn't have anybody over him, so he may indeed come to be able to see better. The Yerushalmi has a glorious pshat. The Yerushalmi says, why the heck would the kids want to be able to read better? They're very happy for the candle to sputter and go out so they can go out to play. So you have no gezeira that they would maybe be mitakein in there. They're just going to be happy for it to turn off. That's a classic Yerushalmi human nature pshat. Okay. So because of that, he can look for a second, where we're not chayshish, that just for a moment, he's going to be metakein the ner, but he should not read. Hu lo yikra. Kayotsebo. Now we find that there are similar things where even because of a standard, even though it's far... Yaakov, you're somebody's making noise here. Oh gosh, again. So even if we have a situation that is far away from falling, there's many steps between what it is I'm telling you not to do and what it is that I'm worried about you're ultimately coming to do. But there are cases where it's a slippery slope. And an example of a slippery slope is simply eating at the same table, the Zov with the Zov. The reason we say Zov with the Zov is because neither of them are makpid on Tuma. So what's the difference if we eat together? Well, because the family that eats together sleeps together. And if they're not family, then it's not a good idea to be like the family that eats together, sleeps together. But you'd say, oh, for God's sake, it's a long way from sitting down at the restaurant to ending up in bed. That may be true, but it's a slippery slope. The same thing is true over here. All I'm doing is looking into the parsha and reading. I mean, to say that I'm going to be so involved, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to start being metakein the ner. It's a slippery slope because of the way that reading is absorptive and draws you into the point that you lose your awareness of what's going on. Daniel, are you guys having problems with the sound? Okay, good. Tanahata. So we have now this question of these various gezeros that come from the fact that we're worried about your hachana. And it says over there in the Mishnah, where we're talking about the dinim of Erevin, it says, Lo yamod adam b'shut ha-yachid v'yishteh b'shut ha-rabim, b'shut ha-rabim v'yishteh b'shut ha-yachid. You can't stand in one rishus and go bend over and take a drink from a fountain in another rishus. Doesn't matter from rishus ha-yachid, rishus ha-rabim, whatever it is. If, however, you put your head and most of your body over, you bent over into the place where the fountain is, then it's not a problem. Because since he's sitting in this weird way over the fountain, it's very not reasonable to worry that he's suddenly going to decide to bring the cup back to the rishus that he was. And this is true about a gat. A gat is a press, wine press. We have no idea what v'chein begat means at this point, and we're going to leave it till later when it becomes more interesting. So the question is, this is all very nice, the guy making gzera, not to move from your cup, from the fountain in Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, or from I've been drinking, or from Rishus, or just because you're not paying attention doesn't mean I have to drink again. So the question, he works for SodaStream. According to SodaStream, you can tell the difference by listening to the soda, and then you know how well you stream the soda. Reb Barnea can tell when it's time for a drink simply by listening to the sound of the soda. So I have to be but machnia myself to his das. I mean, I don't have that kind of havdalah. We're talking about havdalah and drink. Thank you. So this was all very nice in terms of not sticking your head into a shesarabim if you're in a shesayochid or vice versa. But what about if you're in a carmelis? So can you put your head from a carmelis into a shesarabim that has a fountain, from a carmelis into a shesayochid that has a fountain? Omer Abay, it's exactly the same. Says Rav, what do you mean it's exactly the same? The whole concept of a carmelite is a gzera. Minyaraita, remember, the carmelite is a makom ptur. So if it itself is a gzera, we're not going to make a gzera to a gzera, are we? Whereas Abaya says, this is the way the Tosfos understands it, that specifically when it comes to hotza'a, because of the ease with which it suddenly happens, and furthermore, because of the fact that it's a malacha gerua, and most people pay no attention to hotza'a, thinking, ah, come on, that's a chumrah. What do you mean not to carry my talis to shul? What are you nuts? I mean, everybody carries their talis to shul, and so on and so forth. So Abaya held specifically in terms of hotza'a, gazrinan gezera le gezera. Mina aminala. How do I know? One of the things that Rebbes are famous for is their ability to be machzik themselves in one position. Never have I ever seen a Rebbe stretch. I've seen a Rebbe tanz, I've seen a Rebbe lacht, I've seen a Rebbe ret, but a Rebbe to stretch? Who ever heard of such a thing? So I'll prove it to you, says Abaya. Mina aminala. I'll prove to you that you do make a gezera le gezera, because when it says over here, remember we just read in the Mishnah, v'chein begat. What does v'chein begat mean? I mean, what kind of rishus is this gat? Remember that the gat is built into the ground, and therefore it's not a kli. So it would be rishus bifnei atzma. So if this gat is rishus hayachid, you're just repeating yourself. You said rishus hayachid a minute ago. If the gat is rishus harabim, so you're repeating yourself. Or what's the difference if I'm drinking water from a fountain or I'm drinking wine from a wine press? Exactly the same thing. So you're not adding anything. Ah, must be that when you say v'chein begat, you're talking about a gat which is a carmelite, meaning it's less than 10 tefachim high, but it's 4x4 and it's higher than 3. Oh, so now you can't do it even with the gat because it's a carmelite. And you're sitting in Rosh Hashanah, or you're sitting in Rosh Hashanah. See? You see from here that even a gezera le gezera when it comes to hotza is acceptable, says Abaya. Nonsense, says Rava. Doesn't mean v'chein begat in terms of carrying wine instead of water. It's referring to something totally different. It means the same standards apply to the gat, meaning that there's a din l'gabi taking meiser, in which once the meiser is nigmar malachto, at that point, you're not allowed to drink it even if the wine is nigmar malachto. You can't drink it even if it's just a rye. You just happen to be walking by and you want to take a little bit where something that is still being processed. What is the din legabe a wine press? Once the wine goes down into the storage area, into the bar, at that point, it's already chayev and meiser. You can't take it even on rye. But if it's still in the press itself, you want to put in a little bit and taste a little bit, you're allowed even to do that, even though you haven't taken off meiser. That's what it's talking about. It's not. Since it says in the Mishnah in Meiseres that you're allowed to drink wine if it's still in the wine press and you're by the wine press. And it doesn't matter whether you dilute this wine with hot water or with cold water. It doesn't make any difference in terms of how kavua that is, because it still hasn't been nigmar malachta. So Taina's Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Tzadok is mechayev, even if you diluted it with cold water, whatever you diluted it with, the very fact that your mezeg, meziga, is a kvias, and therefore it's not called a rye. The Chachomim say it makes a big difference. If you used warm water, then you're chayev. But if you used cold water, then you're potter. Why? Because using cold water means that whatever is left can be thrown back into the press. If it's warm, you'll never dare throw it back into the wine press because heat will cause an inappropriate growth of the wrong yeast and will end up killing your wine. So the very fact that you were willing to heat the wine means you have no intention of throwing it back in. If you have no intention of throwing it back in, then you are already in a state of formal drinking bekvias, and you're not allowed to have it without taking off mice. And there's some question between the Rishonim about what this has to do with the Mishnah and Shabbos. So the simple meaning of it would be v'chein begat is a question of where are you standing? So if you are kulay, if you're in a different rishus, then the question is, do you intend to bring it back? If you're in a different rishus, he's going to pour it out. If you're in the same rishus, so then you're not going to pour it out. All right, but others are in the pshat is like this. The same thing is true on Shabbos. If you're drinking water out of a fountain, so on Shabbos we would say that the question of whether Rosh or Veruba, the intent is to not bring the cup back with you, you're just going to pour it out. The same thing is true of the gat. If you're not going to bring it back with you, so then it's not considered to be a kvias. But if you, then that's only if you could still pour it out. If, however, you can't pour it back into the wine press, then your intent is to take it back with you. If your intent is to take it back with you, then it's a kvias. Okay, so we've got a machlokas over here between Rav and Abaya as to whether we're gazunin gzera legzera when it comes to a hotzah. Now, how do we understand our Mishnah? The Mishnah says if you're a tailor, you cannot go out with your machat, with your sewing needle, near chashecha erev Shabbos, because shema yishkach b'yetze. Now, normally, what this would mean is, a tailor normally goes out where he's put various needles that he's using. This is very convenient. He simply puts it through the lapel of his jacket, right? So every time he needs a needle, he slips it out of his lapel. And apparently, it's saying that you cannot go with a lapel that has a needle in it because if it's Erev Shabbos, because it's too close to Shabbos, you may forget and go on Shabbos. But the problem is you are not going to be chayev anyway because it's only a derabbanan not to carry a needle in a lapel. That's not the normal way to carry things in your lapels. And because of that, you see, says Abaya, that it's a gezerah legezerah. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Maybe it's talking about that he was holding the needle in his hand, but ain't a chinami, in the lapel, it's not a problem. Oh, yeah? How about this braita? Lo yetziach hayat b'machatach t'chola lo b'bigdo? Here it says a tailor can't go out with a needle in his lapel. I'm assuming that means Erev Shabbos. No. Maybe that means on Shabbos, that midrabbanan, he shouldn't go out with a needle in his lapel. Oh, what are you going to do with this braita? It says beferish. A chayat cannot go out with a needle in his lapel on Erev Shabbos close to Shabbos. Now, that means clearly that it's a gzera legzera. No, even that, not necessarily. Because it could be going on libet Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda holds that a concept of hotzah is defined locally by the user. And therefore, whatever is called derech hotzah abakach, please write this down in your list of terminologies. The concept of derech hotza'ah changes by your status. If you are a professional, that is called an oman, and this is the way that your profession will generally go out, then derech umunato, you would be chayev, even though no other person would generally carry things this way. Tanya, lo yetzeach hayat b'machato atchuva lo b'bigdo. So, during Shabbos, a tailor can't go out wearing a needle in his lapel. A carpenter cannot go out wearing a ruler behind his ear. Rashi understands that all of these cases are actually pirsomet, they're advertisements, so that there were standard ways for people to walk around advertising themselves and what they do. So a tailor would advertise the fact that he's a tailor by having a stack of needles in his lapel, and somebody went, oh, sir, I have a jacket that needs sewing or whatever. A carpenter would walk around with a ruler behind his ear. So you see the guy is walking around, oh, I need a repair. A sorek, you remember the Fuller Brush Company? It's called Fuller Brush not because it's owned by Mr. Fuller, but because a fuller is the person that actually does the brushing of cloth. And it was called a fuller. What does that do? It raises the nap of the cloth. They didn't have dry cleaning. So that's what you would do. And he would wear a something that he could stretch the beged with. He would tie it out. He would stretch it on a frame. And then he would brush it. And that was the equivalent of dry cleaning in those days. So to wear that particular string behind his ear would be his advertisement. A weaver would go around with an ira. Shabbos, no, the ira was the small. Remember how you do weaving. In those days, you take the woof, you have this little wooden frame, you put a roll of thread inside of it with the thread coming out, and then you put some cotton or some wool around the thread so there's only room for the thread itself to come out, and that way the spool doesn't fall out when you throw it to the other side between the various warp threads. You throw it to the other side, move the warp, and then you throw it back to this side. So you have to have a stopper. That stopper was called an era. Or if you are a painter or a dyer, so you would walk out with the very thing that painters walk around with now, a color swatches, right? So you got to be able to choose the color of your paint or choose the color of your dye. This guy would walk around with a lot of different patches of different colors, small little patches to show how he makes a green, what color green do you like, what color blue do you like, and so on. You can't wear that. A shulchani, who deals with, he's a money changer, so he puts a coin behind his ear. Again, Rashi says, these are all advertisements. And in this case, if you were Yotze, it would be potter, because it's not the normal way to carry things. Who walks around with money behind his ear? It would be usser, Divrei Rebbe Meir, but Rebbe Yehuda says, no. If you are a professional, and this is the way that your profession goes around, Oman Derech Umenato would be chayev, only other people would be potter. So then that means, if you say, goes on Libra Rebbe Yehuda, so then that would be perfectly understandable, because then it's not a gzera l'gzera. If indeed you ended up carrying like that, it would be an isser, d'oraita.
Rebbe share with the thermometer during the war.
Oh, excellent, the thermometer. Tani Chada. So one brighter says like this, Lo yetzi azav bekiso, v'im yatza patura asur, avetani idach im yatza chayav chatat. Now remember that a zav is in a situation that he's got to know whether there was any kind of leakage from his penis, because if there was, and he's got maybe gonorrhea or some type of disease that has this leakage of prostate fluid, which he's not going to feel, and therefore he has to see it. So in order to know whether, we'll see, whether he kept Shivas Nekiyim, or whether he has a Riyah Shlishit, or whatever the situation was, he takes a little piece of similar to a tampon for a woman. Obviously it doesn't go in, it goes around. And he wears this and walks around with it and then checks it to make sure that there hasn't been any kind of leakage. So here it says in one braita, he's not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing that. It's kiso, means like a little pocket. And if he does, he would not be chayef. But the other braita says, if he does, he would be chayef. So how do you explain that? Omer of Yosef here too. The first braita that it says there's no chiyuv is going to leave the Rebbe Meir, because certainly it's not a normal way to carry things around your genitals. You carry things in your hands. And therefore, it's not considered to be the way to be chotzah. It's not derech chotzah. Masha inket alibet Rebbe Yehuda. Since for this individual, it is the derech chotzah, you would be chayev. Omalei Abaye, oh, come on, man. Rebbe Meir wouldn't argue about this case. The only place Rebbe Meir was arguing is where something is being carried in a strange way. I mean, you tell me where a tampon is carried, huh? And you tell me where kishal zav is carried. That's the normal way. So Rebbe Meir would say you're potter. That's the way everybody would carry that, right? Because, I mean, if you don't hold that way, and you believe that the derech hotza'ah is definitive of the malacha, so then that would mean the same thing is true of any malacha. The way in which it would most effectively be done, and not the way that you happen to need to do it. Okay, so if you are not a professional, and you make, let's say, you take a piece of wood and you'd make a measuring cup in it, you know, and you're an amateur. So according to Rebbe Meir, you wouldn't be chayev for doing that on Shabbos, because after all, I mean, you don't know how to do it. Only the professional knows how to do that. So apparently, you would actually hold that Rebbe Meir, Achinami lo mechayev, of course you would be chayev. The same thing is true over here. He's only talking about where the way in which it's done is not the standard way for anybody, except you're doing it because of an Oman. Over here, everybody uses it this way. The way to explain the difference between the two braitot is whether it really is the way that is necessary to go. If the Zav had only had two re'iyahs, so then he's got to know whether there was any further re'iyah to be mechayev him. Over there is a Baal Shtei Re'iot, he would be Chayev. Masha Enken, if he already had Shalosh Re'iot, he doesn't really need to have this pocket. And therefore, it's not the normal way to carry it. Understand, what's the difference? If he's Baal Shtei Re'iot, he has to find out if he had three Re'iot, right? But if he has three Re'iot also, he needs to keep Shivas Nekiyim. How's he going to know that those days are Nekiyim? He's got to wear his little pocket. So mi boy le'le svira. Okay, but on the third day itself, third Re'iyah day itself, doesn't have to be a third day, remember, that's only by Azov. Azov could be even the same day. But on the day itself that he had the third Re'iyah, he can't start the Shiva Sedekiyim. He can only start a Shiva Sedekiyim the next day. That's what we're talking about. If he wears that bright, it's talking about if he wears that pocket of Bo Bayom, so then he wouldn't be Chayev. I understand, but listen. Even if he doesn't need it to see whether there was a Re'iyah, would he not wear it the same way that a woman wears a tampon? He would wear it in order not to get his clothes dirty, right? So why is that not considered to be a normal way to carry it? Omer Rebbe Zeira, the Braita, is going according to Thano, who says, Kol itzuleitinuf lo kachashiv. Saving something from getting dirty is not considered to be a chashiva otzah, or a chasheva anything. It's none. Hakofek ki ara al hakotel. Im bishvil shetudach hakara reza b'chiyutan. But on the other hand, im bishvil shelo yilake hakotel enu b'chiyutan. Remember that in order for something to be considered a mashke, it says ki yutan mayim al zera, but it's written ki yitain mayim al zera, which tells us that the only time that we're machshir, or we consider something to be a mashke, is if it is at least something that you want. And it says over here, if you put something down over a wall in order to prevent the wall from getting wet, that is not considered to be a choshiva usage of the mashke, and that's not called kiyutan. Okie doke, the same thing is true over here. If you're wearing this pocket only in order that your clothes don't get dirty, it's not considered to be a classic yutan, in which case the tzav would not be chayav for wearing the pocket. Now, you say this is not very nogea bizman hazeh. Aha! What about if it's raining outside and you want to put on a, basically, the same idea, it's like a condom for your hat. Are you allowed to wear it on Shabbos? It's exactly the same question. It certainly is not normal to carry things around on your hat, right? But, I mean, wearing the covering from your hat, that is considered to be normal, perhaps, but if it's atzule mitinuf, you're only wearing it in order to prevent your hat from getting wet. Which is the same over here, you're only wearing the kis shel zav in order to prevent your pants from getting dirty. Isn't that the same thing? Aha. To be further discussed tomorrow, just to see how nogea any sugya can be. And it's the important, it's the yesod that's important in a sugya. Okay, gentlemen, that concludes our interesting beginnings for Zahira's Erev Shabbos.